What's going on, everybody? We are back. Season 5. Hey, what is going on? It is your host, Shatoria Christian of the I Am Shatoria brand. We are back. I'm really, really excited about today because there's a couple of things we're doing. So first and foremost, if you cannot see me, I'm waving at you and I'm saying hello. If you can, hey, how you doing? Y'all see me? I'm really excited because if you can see me, you can definitely see a difference as there is my mic is going. My husband blessed me for Valentine's with a great mic. And then, wait a minute. For all of us that's locked in, you listening and you seeing me, I got my retie yesterday. And so this is my 21st month in this retie game. So I'm like in this lock game. So I'm really, really excited with my sister locked. They are flourishing today, y'all. But I'm feeling this way because I'm going to just tell you right now. Last week, which is horrible, I had a whole sinus infection, so I did not feel like me. I just felt blah, 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 blah. That is what I felt. And so I'm really, really excited about that. That I feel great. I'm in a space. I'm really good. Yeah, I'm doing good today. And so I'm good to be back in my realm because I have not been in my office for over a week. And I told my husband that yesterday. I said, babe, I haven't been in my office in over a week. And he was like, where? I was like, no. As a matter of fact, take that back. I haven't been in my office since. Oh, okay. So yeah, 2 weeks actually, because I was sick last weekend. So yeah, 2 weeks. Take that back. 2 weeks. I have not been in my office. And so that's the crazy part about it. So one of the biggest things I just definitely want to hound in on is taking care of yourself and showing yourself some love. And that is the thing I had to learn is I needed to show myself some love. I had to take care of myself. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm learning to take care of myself no matter how I feel about the situation. I'm taking care of myself. So that's my little tidbit on that one. Now, let's talk about today's show all. So let me tell you, we're getting ready for today's show as we are going through my book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom. We've already hit on some chapters. I hope you've been keeping up. Look, I'm in a good space. So let me make sure it's absolutely out there. I am in a good space with my book, what it is, what it's talking about. I am okay with talking about it and living my best life. Okay. But if you do not have the book, make sure you are getting the book. All right. Make sure you have the book. You can get the book at iamshatoria.com/merch. I would make sure you get a signed copy. Let me tell you how blessed and happy I am, y'all, because I only have a couple of books left. So I'm actually in the process of ordering more books so I can get those out. So I'm really, really, really excited about that. In the meantime, though, if you have not copped your Vidal magazine, you got to. We are in the process of working on the edition 2. Right now, as edition 1 is out on shelves, you can get it at Amazon or you can, again, iamshatoria.com/merch, where I will sign your magazine for you. And I'm really, really excited about what's in this magazine for the first edition, because the very first one that came out was a dedication. I dedicated to everyone who has really had me, taking care of me, making sure that I am good. And so, and now the first edition covered one of my really, really great friends who her story is absolutely impactful. If you did not make it to the I Am Forgiveness and Freedom Retreat in Oklahoma City in September, you definitely missed a treat, but she was a keynote speaker. So I was really excited about her being there and just being in the space. And so the cover definitely is covering her, her family, her walk in life with being a mom, losing a child, being a grandmother, just all these things, finding love again, communications, like she covers that. But we also are covering a couple of things that are near and dear to my heart. So as we know, February is the month of heart, not just Black history, but heart. And so I merged them together. And so I have a section that is called Black Men Rock. I am loving that section, y'all. Man, let me tell you, I am really excited and thankful for the men in my life who agreed to be in that section. So I'm really excited about that. And then we were talking about the heart. So a really good friend of mine, her son was born with a heart condition, and I'm so excited to see where he's at in life. And so he definitely graced my books. And so I can't wait to get him to grace our stage here too, to tell us his story. And I'm really, really looking forward to that as well. So go make sure you check out Gavin Macon's story in the Vidal magazine as he talks about his heart and, you know, his dreams and his goals in life. And then we roll into March with our women in business, because March is Women's Month. So I'm really excited about that too, as I got some great women in there gracing the page. Like, I'm really excited about that one. Now, and we do cover a little bit in April with a really good friend of mine. I call her JJ, as she talks about infertility and what she had to go through. So I'm really blessed that she has been one of my absolute supports. And you will see her if you've already got your tickets to the fourth annual I Am Forgiveness and Freedom Retreat here in San Antonio. If you got your tickets, you will be seeing her. She is talking about, we're talking about accountability, grief, and what else? Accountability, grief, and healing. And let me tell y'all, because I said this on my social media. So if you was watching, if you're on my social media, you saw it. But one of the things that we talked about that I'm very, very proud of her, when I asked her, she was like, she called me and was like, girl, put me down. I will speak. And I was like, bad. And literally, I kid you not, maybe a week later, she lost her husband. Yeah, she lost her husband. And so I was like, oh my God, like God is doing some things in the spirit. And she goes, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready. And so I cannot wait for her to come and have this conversation, because she knows what it is to also to lose a child. And she knows what it is to lose a spouse. So I am looking forward to sitting under her and hearing what she has to say. Like, y'all, woo, I'm ready for that. And so that is what this edition, the first edition, covers. Now, second edition that's coming out, I'm really excited about this one. We're going to be representing marriages, mothers, and fathers as we are kicking into the months of Mother's Day, Father's Day. And marriages is going to kind of play, because me and my wonderful husband, who I'm very, very thankful for, we will be celebrating 14 years of marriage in July, but in May will be 19 years of knowing each other, trying to figure each other out, loving each other, getting on each other's nerves. That's what we're going to do. So I'm really excited about the next issue that is coming up. We're still working on cover and a whole time now. So I'm really excited about that. So get ready. Like, it's about to be the bomb. Like, so dope. So, but again, like I told you, today we are talking about my book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom, what that means, what that is. We are kicking in chapter 5, where it says, I said yes. Let me tell y'all something. In my mind now, I'm like, should I have said, I said yes to what? Look here, let me tell you, the growth is real, okay? The growth is all the way real. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about today. And so I will be joined today by a young man by the name of Juan Lee out of the DMV area. I'm really excited about this. He has a nonprofit called Clear Journey. And again, we are talking about love. That is what we're going to hit on. You know, what is love? So that's what we're talking. What is love? And actually, that's what we're going to be talking about when it comes down to I Say Yes, chapter 5. And so, yeah, it's a real one. So as we get ready to get into this and get to speak to our wonderful speaker, we're going to take a wonderful 30-second break. And I'm going to be back with you as we get ready to talk about my chapter, I Say Yes, to what? All right, see you in 30 seconds.
Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom. Come and read a story about my faith. Learn all about my forgiveness and forgiving of others, how how I embrace the freedom that I currently have. You can get Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom at Amazon and IamShatoria.com.
All right. Welcome back again to the I Am Shatoria podcast, where we are speaking about today, my book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom, where we are in chapter 5. I said yes to wood. Now, the book doesn't say to what. I just added that today because I had to reread it and figure this whole livelihood out, y'all. But again, I am your host, Shatoria Christian of the I Am Shatoria brand. And so I'm telling y'all, I had to really think about it when I went back to this story of I said yes. And if you've read the book, you do know that is coming after a huge challenging chapter, which is 7. And if you have not seen that podcast, go look at it. I'm telling you right now. It's one of them. It's a lot. But so like I've been telling you guys, I said for some weeks, we're going to be covering my book, what it's about, what we're doing, what we're talking about. I have put it out there. And so I'm telling you, make sure you got your tissue and make sure you get your copy of the book if you already have it. So you can like, okay, wait, I remember she said this. And then make sure if you have not gotten the book, make sure as you see, I have mine and I got my little notes or whatever, because no matter how much I have, the fact that I wrote the book doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, I am like, yeah, this book here. And so when I get into this book, chapter 5, let me tell y'all something. A lot by this time has already happened. I am 9 years old and I don't know what love is at this point in my life. Love is not a thing. I am confused. We are lost. We don't know. And so one of the biggest things is really trying to find my space of what we are trying to do. Okay. And so by this time I've moved a lot. We moved a lot. And at this time, in chapter 5, I live with my aunt, my late aunt, Charlene. I live with my late aunt, and I never forget, we stay in these colorful apartments. Do not ask me what part. My cousins may know, but I don't remember what part of Atlanta at that time we were staying in. All I know is we'd be staying in these apartments, they townhouses. They were colorful. And one of the things about my aunt, at that time, do understand, it is 9 grandkids, okay? My grandmother had 4 kids, my mom being the oldest, my uncle was second, my aunt Charlene was third, and my aunt Angie is the last one. And so my mom had 4 girls. My uncle had no children. My aunt Charlene had 3 boys and my aunt Angie had 2 boys. All 9 of us was in my aunt Charlene's house staying at this point. And by now you guys already know, what was going on with my mom. My mom was in and out of rehab. And at this time she was back in rehab again. And so I remember this as it was yesterday. I was 3rd grade. And so I remember staying with my aunt, and my aunt did her best she could with 4 girls. Let me tell y'all something. Woo, bless her heart. And so I do know by this time we have been through shelters. We have been through all these things. So between the shelters, bouncing from houses to houses, it was a lot going on. And so I didn't have anything stable. I didn't know what stable was. Love was not a word in my home growing up. It just was not. And so my definition of love was what I saw. And to be honest, before even moving with my aunt, and even to this day as an adult, we didn't say I love you. It was not a thing at all. It just was not a thing. So yeah, living with my aunt, one of the biggest things that I talk about in this story is I crave certain things. I crave the attention. I crave the validation. I crave these things because this is what I saw my mother get from gentlemen. And I thought it was the correct thing to do. If you have already read my book, you already know by this time, and there's no reason to sugarcoat it, but by this time, I had already been molested for about a year anyway. So for me, I was numb to the fact of being touched and all this other stuff. And I felt in my life that was something that was going to make me the woman I needed to be, or the concept of, hey, like me, because this is not real life. It was not real life. And that's the problem. It was not real life. It wasn't what life was supposed to be. That is not what God had ordained for me. However, what Satan makes for bad, God creates and make into a whole story and a platform. Because, baby, let me tell you something. I am so free. I can tell you about it now. And I'm not mad about it. But yeah, at this time, you know, I'm worthless in my head. In this time, I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I don't know what love is. And that is the thing about life growing up, that we take what we are seeing and say that's love, because that is what we see. That's what we are taught. We're not taught anything differently. And so that is the hardest thing I really had to comprehend and take in and realize now as an adult. Now, as a child at the age of 9 years old, let me tell you something. You're talking to a 9-year-old who is afraid of her mother, who has been molested for over a year, who has been beaten, who's been a whole adult at this point. If you've been listening, we've been talking about adultification. So this is what life really has entailed for me. This is it. This is what it was. And so I am in a place at 9 of I'm in a new home again. I'm at a new school again. So what else do I got to lose? I ain't got nothing. So it is what it is. And so I became comfortable with being disrespected. Okay. I became comfortable with being disrespected. And one of the things is I felt like love came from a space of you're beautiful or give me what you got. That's the type of stuff. Let me tell you. Didn't hear you beautiful a lot. And when I did, it was an indication of they wanted something. And the sad part about it is that's what I took from it. That's what I took. And so lesson learned, you know, lesson learned. And, you know, I'm sitting here now as a grown woman going, ooh, those were the days. And people say, do you regret? No. And so I said yes to the disrespect. I said yes to the non-validation. I said yes to the pain and the hurt, which when people used to ask me, when did you lose your virginity? I said 9. This wasn't a true statement. If you really think about it, it's not a true statement. I was molested at 7. So really I lost it at 7. However, I willingly gave myself away at 9. I knew no better. And so, you know, the question came up with how in the world did this come to pass? Oh my God, y'all, we were selling that candy back in the day that some kids are still selling to this day. And so I never forget, it was one of my cousin's friends when he was older. Which I'm about 17 at the time. And so he was older. My cousin and they all hung out. Mind you, we always hung out with older people. That's just what the life held for us. It was nothing like that. And so I never forget. I thought he was cute and everything. And it didn't matter at that time. What I saw was a guy. That's what I saw. And he thought I was cute. And I thought he was cute. And, you know, again, I accepted the disrespect because now as an adult, I feel like he didn't know what he had going on. And so that was the thing about it. He didn't know either. Here's the thing. We grew up in a systematic world at that time. And this is in the 90s. We grew up in a systematic world at that time where life was just what it was. And with thinking about it now, this was in 91. Because I turned 10 in 92. So yeah, this was 91. So 91, 92 time frame, early 92 time frame, where all of this came about. And if my memory serves me correct, this was early 92. This is actually right when my grandmother was getting married. And so when I never forget, let me tell you, now that I think about it as an adult, I think this young man was groomed to know how to talk and walk and make himself feel a certain way. So women who are not vulnerable, who are vulnerable and really don't know how to stand up for themselves, really understand, hey, this is what he's doing. Like he's luring you. And so now as an adult, I can go back and go, those were the signs. And crazy part, I wrote it in the book and now I know the signs. But when we went out and we're selling this candy, they thought it was a great idea that we split up. And he was like, well, me and Tori go. And y'all, it wasn't like it was like four or five of us. The neighborhood was not small either. We stayed in these townhouse apartment areas. And again, it's not like the space was small, but it's also not like it was just a few of us. It was a lot of us selling candy. And literally, it could have been like three or four people together to go sell candy. However, he felt like it would be great for just me and him. And so that's what I took. And one of the things that I learned was saying no was not my thing. So I will say, you know, we went and we did what we were supposed to do, which was sell the candy. And we did that for a few minutes. But we walk in and talking, and the wording, I tell my students to this day, wording is important. And so, you know, we talking, we walking, and he's talking, and I hear him, and he's talking about how cute I was and all of that. And he asked the question, have I ever been kissed before? I lied because I have, but that, yeah, I didn't count that. And so I, you know, my desire at that time was to be touched and to be loved on and all of that. And so he made it as if, you know, he's able to do that. And in my head, I'm like, well, I mean, he's older. He should know. I've already been with an older person. So again, this is my mindset. I'm nine. And it started really, as we say, innocent, with a kiss on the cheek and, you know, a little touching, and it went into other things. And again, I said yes to the disrespect. So when I say I said yes to what? I said yes to the disrespect. I said yes to the non-love signs. I said yes to my vulnerability being betrayed in every way, fashion. I said yes to a young man who was rude and disrespectful. I think the hardest part about once it was done, once I gave myself up, I became nothing. And I think that's what bothered me the most. We all still hung out, and I wrote it in my book. I'm actually looking at it now. And so it says, after this day, time went on as well, and we still hung out and again acted as if nothing ever happened, but we never did anything again. So it was only one time. But one reason we didn't, because his words changed. He wasn't saying nice things anymore to me, but he was brushing me off. Remembering my cousin at one point telling him to be nice because he became a little rude. He started speaking about other girls and they would flirt when we were outside hanging out. He got one girl pregnant. Now that I can do the math as an adult, she was pregnant when I slept with him. There was that moment where I felt nothing likable about me, a child with grown-up thoughts. I knew what I saw and thought was the right way to love someone. It was all a made-up dream. The reality was hurt, pain, abandonment, and no joy in sight. I was a child and didn't see what was real. Saying yes to someone who didn't care about me and everything he said to me was a lie. Saying yes because I thought he meant what he said. My smile portrayed what was going on behind the glare of my eyes, being in my feelings, and it hurt. I knew if I told someone would get in trouble, and I didn't want to get anyone in trouble. And so telling no one about who this guy was, he felt like he was teaching me about sex and kissing, but he wasn't my first. And it says he did something I became used to, and that was lying and breaking my heart. He gets a gold star for being my first real crush. Searching for the wrong things led me to freely giving myself away, and it killed my heart again. And so I laugh at it now because here's the thing. Definitely not mad at him over that, the whole entire nine. But you know, here's the thing that I say as we get ready to pause, to get ready to introduce our guest. What is love? And that is what we're talking about today. What is love? And so in this moment, I gave myself away to an individual that I thought loved me. And that is the hardest course to learn in life. It ain't just about physically giving yourself, but mentally and spiritually giving yourself. And that is what I did. But again, I was 9, so I didn't know any better. What I knew is what I did because I thought it was right. But then now, and as an adult, you know, I'm not mad at him. However, he knew what he was doing when he did it, how he was doing it the whole time. I get that. Cool beans, dude. Got you. Yeah. Okay. Is what it is. But in reality, though, reality kicks in when you start to grow up and you start to recognize your worth. And at that time, it took me years, and I'm talking about until adulthood. I was 9. I am now 41. And I really did not realize what my worth was and is until, you know, even after I was married. I learned a little bit over time, you know, before I was married, but to really dive into who I was and who I am now, it really took a lot of work. And so to that 9-year-old little girl, I'm proud of her because, yes, you said yes. I did. I said yes. Little Tori said yes. However, little Tori said yes to the things that she felt was right because that's what she knew. And so to you all that's listening, don't be mad at yourself when there's things you don't know and you're still learning. And that is what I had to really comprehend. I was learning. I still learn to this day. But at that time, the lessons I was learning, because you got to understand, I don't know stable. I don't know love. I don't know realness. And to have a stable life, it sometimes can come at a cost. So I'm very thankful for being able to be in a space where I can think clearly and know, oh girl, you did that. Okay, we grew up from that. And so I don't fault him now as an adult. Now let me tell y'all something. That 9-year-old girl was mad. She was real mad because you ain't about to be doing that to me. And you know the sad part about it is I repeated it. I remember really feeling this guy as a teenager, and I slept with him instead of having a conversation with him. And when everything was said and done, this individual was like, oh, we should have talked about this beforehand, because you know I would have told you, not ready, blah, blah, blah. Y'all know what they be talking about. They not ready the whole time. Not. Let me tell you something. I repeated and repeated and repeated over time because it was a validation. It was for me a validation of who I was not. And now as an adult, again, I said yes to the disrespect. I said yes to one taking away every little value I had about myself. I did that. I did it. Not them. I allowed them, but I did it. But the crazy part about it is I still didn't know. You know what I mean? I still didn't know. All right. So as we are still talking about the, I said yes, you know, we, you know, get into that a little more as we are talking about what love is. When I come back, we will be talking with my special guest. All right. And I'll introduce him in a second. But got to give you guys another little 30-second break. But we'll be back here in 30 seconds. All right. All right, everybody, welcome back. So I'm really excited. As I've already told you guys, we've been talking about the topic, what is love? And I'm really excited about the guest that we have because his topic goes with the topic that we already talked about, which really, really flows. And I'm really, really excited. So if you just not joined us, welcome back to the I Am Shatoria show, as I am your host, Shatoria Christian of the I Am Shatoria brand. But I am really excited about who we about to bring back on. First of all, if you know me, you know we was in the DMV area for the last 9 years. I love DMV. I think DMV is absolutely dope. Just not a place for me to live, for me to visit, and I'm okay with that. But I have been truly blessed with a guy by the name of Juan Lee. He has a nonprofit called Clear Journey. And we're going to be talking about today what is love, but I can't wait for him to come on and talk about his project, the nonprofit, what it is, and asking him the $100 million question, what's love is, all right? So I want you guys to show some love to Mr. Juan Lee of Clear Journey at the DMV area. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm talking about this subject because I think the subject is, first of all, very important because I think a lot of us tend to forget love is important. And so what I just explained to them is from my book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom, I am talking about the realness of what love is. And so for me, I spoke about, hey, my first couple of chapters in the book, I don't know what love is. And so one of the things in the chapter five that we are talking about is, the title of the chapter is called I Said Yes. And I literally titled this, I Said Yes to What? And I realized I said yes to disrespect. I said yes to the non-love thought process. And I know that now as an adult. But for you, first of all, let's talk about you and we'll get into the what's love. So let's talk about Mr. Juan Lee. So give the listeners and the viewers some things about you they should know.
Well, again, like you've already said, I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I'm a veteran. And I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Clear Journey, where we support individuals in 8 areas of life to help them navigate, educate, and navigate life more successfully. That's my spiel there. I mean, if you wanted to just sum it up right there, that's what I'm doing, and that's basically where I use my book Love Made Simple, and I bring a concept of love and I make it practical in my nonprofit, where we talk about how do we actualize love in a way that we can navigate life successfully using what I call the attitudes of love.
So first of all, thank you for your service. And it's funny because also to all of my people that out here listening, y'all, he Air Force vet too. Hey, you know, we have a lot of Air Force vet, you know, that seems to grace this stage. I love it. So again, thank you for that. Love Made Simple. So tell us first, what is the Clear Journey?
Well, Clear Journey is the practical application of love. It's a organization that basically deals with 8 areas of life. And what we do is that we educate and we give you resources so that you can navigate those areas successfully in your life. Because what we've come to realize, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, that for whatever the case, you know, we sometimes and most of the time caught off guard with life's challenges, you know. And what we would like to do here at Clear Journey is to give you the tools to prepare for the journey so that you can navigate it more successfully. Instead of being tripped up with it, we can be able to navigate it and begin to really set goals that we are really committed to so that we can be all that we were intended to be, you know, be fulfilled in this experience. So that's our journey. That's how we look at a life's journey. And so we want to help people navigate this thing so that they can be successful.
So with that, and that's one of the biggest things, a lot of us are scared to be navigated because we are scared to get out of the space that we were in because we're so used to it. We're so used to being in a space and not really, we're not comfortable with going into the unfamiliar because we're scared of what comes from that. And the crazy part about it, that love is one of them. When you are not shown that what love genuinely is, and I think that's the problem. And I know for me that it was. I said this earlier on today's show is we didn't hear I love you in our house. That wasn't a word that was said. So for me as a child, not hearing that and not really knowing what that was, my definition was flawed.
Yours is not any different than mine. You know, that's just not something that's familiar to us in the home.
Oh.
And unfortunately, the one word or tool that has the answer to all of our challenges is that word love.
Mm.
It's that word love. And that is where, you know, I say in my book is a subtitle, is that it's the guide to inner peace, contentment, and success. When you can grasp the power of love in your life, it brings you inner peace so that you can be content, not compared, content,
right,
where wherever you are, as you grow and you mature into who you are meant to be, and be successful on that journey. See, we're talking about the journey, not the destination.
Mm.
We're talking about the journey. And that's where I think many of us get caught with an eye on the destination and we miss the journey. And the journey is, boy, it's where our successes are, where our fulfillment lies, is in that journey.
I'm glad that you said that, because here's the thing. The hardest thing I had to learn is God has a way of doing things. We get seen, we are shown, what's the word I'm looking for? We see our end mark and we try to rush to it. And we don't want to live out the journey to get to it. We get shown, okay, this is what Z looks like. And we get bored at A, B, C, and D because we're trying to get to Z, not realizing there is something in this journey for you. So you cannot rush the process, because as my grandmother used to say, and I've said it before on my show, my grandmother used to call it microwavable blessings. And she was like, you know, you want that home cooked blessing. And I used to be like, what is she talking about? I get it as an adult now. If I want something that's going to be sustainable and real, I got to let it be homemade and genuine. It has to be genuine, which means there's work that is played into that. That is work that is being done. But then we have this generation that wants that microwavable, where you just go put it in the microwave, let it nuke for a minute. It ain't no real home cooked meal. It's there's no love into that. It's just we quickly with it, and then we're going to put it out and we're going to serve it to you and say, this is what love is. And that's not a true statement, which goes into self-love. It goes into recognizing how you know your self-worth. And it goes into, okay, if you don't know your self-worth, somebody else is going to tell you what their self-worth is, and they're going to serve that to you. And so, unfortunately, living in a time span of negativity, I mean, let's be honest, we're in a time span of negativity to where social media, society shows us what love is. They tell us unconditional love is this and this and this. And that's not a true statement. And it leaves our generation of kids yearning for credibility, validation. And so as a child who went through those things, I am in a space now of, man, I don't want to repeat that for my daughter, my son, my grandson. So I live by that concept. What my grandmama said, I ain't gonna lie, I used to think it was crazy. I used to be like, microwavable blessing, what is she talking about? And so when you talked and you just said and I had to write it down when you said journey to love, I think that's big, because we miss the journey. We miss the mark. We miss the people that we meet in between that. When you see the people that you deal with on a daily with Clear Journey, and I laugh now that I said it out loud, what do you see that is the issue the most when it comes down to people on this journey to really trying to figure out who they are?
I think you summarized it pretty well. And that is the fact that we're focusing on the destination. And I think in the process of doing that, we get caught up in comparison. Mm-hmm. We're wanting to compare ourselves with someone else's destination or someone else's expectations. And how we end up in that is that's what you've talked about here, is that we've been fed something that doesn't identify who we are. It identifies something that the media has created. And we've allowed ourselves to follow along with someone else's narrative instead of finding our own identity. And one of the things that I put in my book, and you talked about it right there, and how I articulate it though in the book, is that in every chapter of my book, it's broken down into four stages. And okay, each one of those stages has a fulfillment in them. And when you are fulfilled, and here's the stages, it's teenagers, young adults, adults, and seniors. Those are all the stages of life that we go through. And then when at each of those stages, there are fulfillments. There are fulfillments that are in there. You are to be fulfilled as a teenager, not trying to be a young adult when you're a teenager, maximizing the state of being a teenager. And then when you get into that area of a young adult, you're prepared for that young adult stage. And so it continues and continues, because all together, we're collectively, and no matter what stage we're in, we need each other. We need each other. And as we begin to enter into those next stages in life, you know, we have to realize that the things that we have to offer, we've developed them so that we can share them, so that we can be fulfilled in the next stage in our lives. What we end up doing is finding ourselves in a stage of life that we were never fulfilled in the previous one. Mm. And then we're wondering why we're not being fulfilled in the next one. And it just continues to perpetuate. And the only thing that we can do then is to begin to look to someone else to give us something that we should have been able to prepare for when we were in a previous stage. And we don't get, here's this thing about life. We don't get these do-overs. We don't get a do-overs. And that's why it's so important to understand the value of where we are, the present. The present is a wonderful thing. You can't overdo it, and you can't miss out. We miss it so often. We right. miss out on the present, thinking that the future is something that we are promised, and it's absolutely not. Mm. It's absolutely not.
You speaking realness right now. Okay, so one of the things, as you just said, and let me, the destination, I feel like the destination is not as important as that journey, because when you get to that destination, it's like you're now rearing up for another destination. And the issue that we run into is that, and I can say yay because that was me, is my identity. And I said it in my book, my identity was defined by other people and other things from what I knew. And so for me, being part of a systematic world that was not conducive to my growth, I can say, it allowed me to realize now as an adult, I went 20 plus years trying to figure out what love was, what love is, what it meant to me, because everybody's definition is different. Because once I realized that, oh, my definition was flawed because what I seen, my worth changed. When I realized what love really was, my worth completely changed. My thought process about who I was, what I deserve, it changed. And it's almost like going through a surgery. It really was. It was like a whole surgery mechanism, because I had to unwind 20 plus years of love and hurt and pain. And one thing I had to learn was love is not supposed to hurt.
That's an interesting thing that you say that. I think in the context in what you're talking about, I 100% agree with you. Love should not hurt.
But the death of loved ones will.
Well, but here's another perspective because as you say that, I'm trying to agree with you, and at the same time, give a little bit of a perspective that will understand that love sometimes will hurt.
Oh, and look, I'm all open for them, so let's go. I'm here for it.
And I will use no other than our Lord and Savior on the cross.
I'm with you. I can't even argue with you.
And therein lies when we understand the pain of what love really is.
You ain't gonna get nothing from me from that one, because you real on that. And yes, we do not realize he definitely made the ultimate sacrifice for us. That's one. And now as an adult and as a parent, I realize that we make sacrifices that hurts for the love of our children. And what I mean by that is, as parents, you're having to cut that cord. I have been watching parents bury their children. I have been watching parents having to cut kids off, and it's hard because you don't want to see your kids suffer, but at the same time, it hurts. And you know, growing up, they say, you know, this is gonna hurt me more than it's gonna hurt you. And it's like, what? And now as an adult, it's yes. We're dealing with that now with our daughter. She's 9, and I'm watching how cruel the world is to her. So I'm having to make decisions that I'm like, okay, God, this is uncomfortable, but uncomfortable equals success. And because my love for her is greater, I am, and also on top of that, I don't want her to feel the pain that I felt as a child because my mother did not know how to love me properly in a space so I can be comfortable enough to be vulnerable with her. And I think when I think about Christ being on that cross and getting every stripe, every pain, so one, I can live freely. I can't compare what we're doing as parents on that level, but we make decisions so these children can be a little more freer than where we're at. And I we've come a long way in life, but at the same time, I will say as African Americans, we still got a ways to go because some of us are still systematically still enchained and broken and trying to figure life out. And the sad part about it, as a teacher, I see parents who still don't even know what love is. So when I got students coming in and they getting cussed out on their way inside the building, I'm very inclined to where I tell people all the time, teaching is a ministry for me. It's not just a job, because at this point, I don't have to work. I don't. But my ministry is these children. So when I see them, if I don't do anything else, I'm going to say, I love you. I'm going to love you like Christ loved you. And that's hard some days. That's hard as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely, you won't get no argument on that. You are absolutely correct. Yes, hands down. Now, with that, when you talk about your book, Love Made Simple, I love the title because as a mom, as a wife, I realize that I'm very simple. I'm simple. I don't require much. I told my everybody who's listening, this beautiful little mic thing right here, this is my Valentine's Day gift from my husband. He knows the way to my heart. I'm simple. I don't ask for much. I don't even want much. But I've learned the hard way to not make love hard. But I had to learn my worth in order to do that, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. You, my book, Love Made Simple, is modeled after what that example I just gave. Mm-hmm. It's modeled after the love of Christ. And when I say it's simple, it's the fact that I give you the simplicity of a choice to be in compliance with the Father so that we would be able to live the life that he desired for us. And that means that it takes sacrifice. Mm. It takes discipline. It takes humility. It takes caring. It takes courage. It takes responsibility. And it takes tenacity.
Mm.
These are the characteristics. These are the attitudes of that love that I speak of. And it's those attitudes that help us gain the perspective to manage this experience called life. See, love is the power that gives us the attitudes to navigate this thing. And when we don't, when we're without it, we're left on our own devices. And we're out here trying to figure it out. And everybody can figure it out the wrong way. It's a whole lot of ways, a whole lot of wrong ways.
Right.
But the example of the power of love, when you know that you know who you are and what it is that you're called to do, then you're able to navigate this thing. You know where you belong. You don't know, you're not allowed, people can't abuse you or misuse you because you know who you are. You know what you have to offer. You know that you're important, you're necessary, and you have what is sufficient to walk this walk, to talk this talk. And it's that power that you walk in and that confidence of that ability to be able to know that you, who you are and what you are. And nobody can move you off of that. And it'll do more. It will intimidate people, to be honest with you, when you can walk in that kind of assurance, that type of confidence. And that's what my book is about. And it's not that hard. It's a choice.
Ooh, that's that word people don't like. Mm-mm. People don't like that word. They don't like that concept of it's a choice, because then it holds them responsible.
Well, that's one of the words.
People hate the word responsibility.
Absolutely.
They hate it because I tell people all the time, because people say, well, why do, you know, God allow everything? Da, 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 da. And I said, the funny thing about it is everything is a choice. We have the freedom to pick a right from wrong, regardless of how that's the type of God we serve. He's like, I'm gonna let you choose. I'm gonna let you choose your path. And even as parents, we do the same thing. Look, I'm giving you this. Now, if you choose to go this way, it's the repercussions you have to make. And unfortunately, as adults, we tend to divert the blame, divert the issue instead of dealing with it heads on. And so one of my prayers is that at some point we come to terms with ourselves to know that, hey, let me take this accountability. And let me see how I can get it changed. One of the things that I stand on is there's nothing wrong with getting help and asking questions. And so this is why I love that you have the Clear Journey, because there's nothing wrong with getting help and asking questions. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know how to do it. Let me tell you, I am the type of person, I'm an advocate for therapists. I'm an advocate for life coaches, business coaches, spiritual coaches, pastors, shepherds. I'm an advocate for that because we can't do everything on our own.
Can't do anything on our own.
And the problem with trying to do it on your own, there's a space where you're going to mess up. Because here's the thing, if you're still in that rut and you're doing all of this stuff by yourself and you in this rut, then have you helped yourself at all? What are you doing to yourself? And so give us an understanding of Clear Journey. What does it do? What impact is it making? Because, you know, I'm really big about the community. So I know you out there in the DMV doing your stuff. And for those that are watching, if you're watching, you see his contact information on here. For those who are listening, we'll make sure it's in the bio and everything else. But if you're just not joining in, we are talking to author Juan Lee, who is also the founder of the nonprofit Clear Journey. And he has a book called Love Made Simple. Did I say that?
Yep.
I thank you guys for joining us as we are talking about the subject, what is love? As I was talking about my chapter 5 of Authentic Transparency, I said yes, and I talked about not knowing what love is. And this is how I made some decisions that I made. So as I'm talking to Mr. Juan Lee, he's going to give us some information about Clear Journey. I think it's very important for the community, especially in the DMV area and surrounding areas, but to know what it is and how to get the help you need without feeling ashamed.
Yeah, this was really the major part of it, and realizing through my journey that I realized that I needed help. Mm-hmm. See, what happened was for me, and I'll just give you a little short taste of it, is that I have a learning disability that was undiagnosed until I was 37 years old. And because of that, it took me time to find out who I was, find my own identity, because I was busy being compared to other people. And help was not something that I looked on as something that I could reach out for. It was like, I got to do it myself and I got to figure it out myself. And here's the thing, at all of this trying to figure it out, didn't know that I had low self-esteem, did not know what I was fighting against. I called it a ghost. I was fighting a ghost. Mm. I mean, for 37 years of my life, I was fighting a ghost, had no idea what it was. But at the end of it, I realized I felt like I was unprepared for life. I was unprepared. I felt hopeless. And this is where the military comes into my experience, into my life. Because now the military comes in and allows me to see value in who I am and give me the help I need to be a part of something bigger than myself. And that's critical in our life journey, is to understand that we are just a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're on a temporary assignment, a TDY.
Mm.
And we are on assignment to be able to invest into humanity so that this can protect and preserve humanity for the next generation. And we all are on this TDY together.
You know what's funny? You just said that. I was watching the funeral of Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force Number 5, Chief Gaylord, yesterday, because he was here in San Antonio. They had a service here. And I remember when they were at the cemetery, they made a comment and they said he did his final PCS. And I laughed about it, because in my head, you know, non-military people really won't get it. But as military people, we was in there going, oh, yeah. And those that are part of, you know, who are really into the word, we started to put those analogies together. We was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like how you said, this is a TDY. Because I'm very clear, this is not my assignment. This is not the end. Here until God said, all right, time for you to PCS onto the crib. And you'd be like,
but that's just it. I mean, this assignment is what we have.
Yes.
To invest in it so that we can allow the next generation to be able to build on it. They can build on it. And we have a responsibility to invest. And yet we have to get outside of this all about me. This thing is bigger than me. And that's the story of my military experience. It wasn't about me. It was about the mission.
Oh, you just hit. And I know we are going to have to. You just hit. Because here's the thing. The biggest thing I've learned in my life is when I wrote my book, I didn't have an expectation. You know, like, well, God, I'm writing this. And he had to tell me, this ain't about you. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is for some other people. And I'm like, okay. I wrote this book 2 years ago. And we're about to hit the third year that it's been out. And it's now resurfacing to where now I'm really talking about the book. I got students reading the book. I got students that's asking questions like, it's Christian. And I'm like, wait, God, this is what you did it for. He said, yeah, I already told you this one about you. Yes, I walked through these things because there was something that somebody else needed in it. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we look at our current circumstances. We look at what we're sitting in and we don't look at the concept of, this is not for me. I'm going through it in this moment, but this is not for me. But what a lot of us do not tend to get also is, while we're going through it, somebody else has already been through it. But because we want to hide, we don't want to talk about it, we want to leave it alone, then we tend to start going through it by ourselves, trying to, as you gracefully said, we'll be trying to figure these things out on our own, and we can't do this on our own. And so I tell people, the walk that I walk, oh my God, it hurt. However, now I'm going, that one's for me. So let me see how else I can help somebody heal quicker than what I did, because I was trying to do it by myself and I was trying to do it in Tori's own way. But I will say the blessing is always remembering that as a sheep, my shepherd never forgot about me. And just like the prodigy son, I found my way back home. And for anybody that's listening and those who are watching, the biggest things is the teachings you received, the love that you received, even if it was minute, it is for moments that you're either sitting in right now or that you already dealt with, or you're getting prepared for whatever is about to come. That's just period. That's period. And so can you tell them where they can get your book, Love Made Simple? Where they can get it?
You can pick it up on Amazon. You can get it. It's on Audible. You can pick it up on Audible. I've been revamping my website and it's not on the new website. So I don't know if it is. I don't know. It's not. But you can go on Amazon and get it. But the Audible is by far available. You can pick it up. As a matter of fact, you can get it for free if you join Audible, if you get it on Audible.
Okay, I have to, because I feel like that is a lesson within itself. And if you are watching, you see his info here on YouTube, IG, LinkedIn, Twitter, and you also see the website to The Clear Journey along with the email. And I'm telling you, it's because I've already been on the website, so I saw some videos and stuff like that. And I think the teachings are very, very important. To what is needed for us to survive. And the thing about it is, I stand on it, we can't survive without love. We can't survive without love. As it is imperative to a lot of our well-being. Because if we do what we see and what we know, and one of the things I strive on is, one, always remaining humble, but two, I feel like love is one of the greatest words, the greatest actions. I don't care if it's a hug or asking you how your day is or just sending you a text to check on you. I stand on that, because you have people who have unspeakable prayers. You got those who are really feeling some type of way. I am a firm believer that if God places someone on my heart, I'm texting, I'm emailing, I'm calling, I'm doing something. Something's going to get done, because of the simple fact that at the end of the day, if God placed it on you at that time, then it is, that means he needs you to do something. He reach out, like, do what you got to do. And so, yeah, I'm big on that.
It's that attitude of care. Then that ability to care. And now we have so many ways and tools to care, to demonstrate it. And so, and it means so much to be able to demonstrate that you care. And, you know, people desire to want to be cared for. They want to be shown that someone cares.
Absolutely. Before we go, is there anything you want to leave the listeners? Because again, your contact information, everything will be out there, but if you can say anything to anybody that is listening right now, they just need a little boost. They just need a little boost. What would you tell them right now?
That, like I said, everybody is important. And if we don't recognize this, first and foremost, is that you have a share. It's important. It is necessary. And it's sufficient. Mm-hmm. And I say that understanding that without knowing this, we walk around wondering, are we enough?
Oh.
And we're not, and no one is going to tell us No one, and never measure yourself against someone else. You are an original. An original. No one to ever will make you, no one will ever duplicate you, will duplicate you. You walk in a time that is significant to this, to the next generation, because you were here now. And what will we do with that existence, that experience that will influence and affect the next generation? Now is the time. It's the present, never to be repeated.
Oh, it's the you are you. Oh yeah, all of it. All of it. I don't even know where I can't even dissect that one, because that's something that I say, and that's something I live by. We are originals. We are masterpieces. We are created. It's like that painter that paints, and everything is original. And so, you definitely hit nails on head for me today.
You have to be able to own that, though. You've got to own that. It's not just something that we hear. We've got to believe it. We've got to own it, because it's only as we do that is that we're able to occupy it and begin to operate in it and walk in it. We can walk in that assurance that we are an original. It allows us to show up in the space knowing that we have something to offer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You've made my whole day with that one. So, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, again, thank you, sir. I really appreciate you taking your time on this beautiful Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday at that, to come and hang out with us, to have this strong, strong conversation about what love is. Again, guys, if you are watching, you see his contact information. You can also see it in the bio. And if you're listening, you can also see the information. And he's in the DMV area. So make sure you join the website, join the emails, join him on social media, where you can get all his contacts. So again, thank you, Mr. Wan Lee. I really, really, really appreciate you.
Can I just add one little thing?
Absolutely.
Also, we have a podcast every Wednesday night. It's called It's Life Live. You can see us on our YouTube channel, on Clear Journeys YouTube channel. That's the It's Life Live. We do it every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
Come on out, join us, subscribe to our website, to our channel. We're looking for the community to support. If you want to be a part of our community, just come on and plug in. Also, we're in the middle of a fundraiser. It is our fundraiser for financial literacy. I sent that to you also, my fundraiser. It's a link that will allow you to support us. And what we would like to do as a gift for you supporting us, we have a new book, and it's called Budgeting Made Easy. I think it's something that we all need to understand, that our finances are something that resonates in every area of our lives. And that's something that we want to give to you as our gift for being a supporter of Clear Journey.
Absolutely. I hands down appreciate it. And for those who are watching, it is Ashley on the screen. I will also have it in the bio, and we will make sure that information get out, because I'm really big about the community. And I think financial literacy is important, as I'm still asking God to help me be a better stewardess of funds that are coming in, especially as business is growing, because I know what it is to be in poverty. I was that person. And so I am learning to set up legacy for my kids, not just financial side of it, but businesses and stuff like that, because that's a whole nother story by itself. And we actually got somebody who's gonna come on. She gonna talk about that. Can't wait for that conversation. But again, you guys will see that also in the link as well. So make sure you are reading the bio, because everything is in there. And don't worry, guys, I'm gonna mention it again. Prepare. Again, thank you, Mr. Wan Lee. I so, so appreciate you. Have Mr. Wan Lee back here. I promise you that. So just to Mr. Wan Lee, as we get ready to close out, in the meantime, thank you guys, as always, for joining us today. The topic was, what is love? And I think I'm about to change it to journey to love, because it's real. What is love? What does that journey look like for you? So I want you to answer that question. What is the journey of love looking like for you? How are you feeling right now? What are you thinking about the destination you're trying to get to? Do you even know the destination you're trying to get to? Like, have you even really just prayed on and figured it out? All right. But in that meantime, you guys know I love y'all to the moon and back. I always have my favorite saying to you guys that I love to leave you with because I think it is so important, where he says, walk in love, live fearlessly, and have a whole lot of faith. We don't do anything else. These are the things y'all know I stand on. So again, we're going to walk in love. We're going to live fearlessly, and we're going to have a whole lot of faith. That's what we're going to do, okay? So know that I love you, and I pray that you have a blessed week. Remember, check us out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays on where you can see me at youtube.com/@IamShatoria, and you can hear me on podbean.com at IamShatoria.podbean.com, all right? Love you, mean it. Have a blessed week. See you guys later.